This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Last week we tried to see Jesus as the coming King through the eyes of John the Baptist. It was John's job to prepare the hearts and minds of the people for his coming by way of repentance and baptism in the River Jordan. Let's listen to what else John has to say to the people about the coming King. But first let's begin with a song designed to wake us all up this morning, a song called My Lord, He Is A Coming Soon. People living in and around the Jordan River longed for their coming King and Messiah, for it was promised that he would set them free from their oppression, and they rejoiced to hear John say that his arrival was imminent. So what else did John say to the people? I'm reading from verse 7 this time of Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Let's hear a lovely Advent hymn called Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, sung to us by Ferdinand Ortega.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free. Our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art, they desire of every nation, joy longing heart. Born Thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king.
John called the people to repentance, sincere repentance, the result of which would show in their lifestyles. There must have been some, though, who stood there with smug expressions on their faces and who were full of pride. John called them a brood of vipers. He warned these people that just because they were descendants of Abraham, it didn't mean they'd automatically found favour with God. He implied there would be others God would call if they remained proud and unrepentant. I was at a church meeting once, a day of renewal, many years ago, where people were invited down to the front of the church at the end of the service to be prayed for as they offered their lives to God. And I was determined not to budge out of my seat. Pride glued me to it. I'm a teacher, for goodness sake, I thought proudly. Got my reputation to think of. I'm dignified, above all this emotion. And suppose someone recognises me, Lord forbid. At the close of the meeting, when the equipment was being put away, only then did I swallow my pride and ask for prayers. This precious moment was the hinge on which my history turned, and my life was never the same again. Perhaps concern for reputation, as well as pride, was at stake here too, in the hearts of these arrogant people, and it was quite apparent to John. But what might have been in our minds then if we'd been listening to the preaching of John the Baptist? Could we have responded in exactly the same way, and what reasons would we have given to resist him? This doesn't apply to me, I'm British. This is already a Christian country. I worship God in my own way, thank you. I'm C of E. Or whatever religion you happen to be. How about we come to God just as we are? Here's Brenton Brown singing, Just As I Am.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Jesus, take all of me. I run to you. I lay everything at your feet. Let my
So what exactly did the people expect? What exactly had they been promised by the ancient prophets? Who was it? What were they waiting for? In a nutshell, the collective message was all about a coming Messiah who would be human as well as divine, who would be prophet and king of the line of David, as well as high priest and a good shepherd. It was foretold that he would bring about a new covenant with God, that he would defeat the powers of the evil one. He would lift the curse of sin from the people and forgive their sins. He would bring healing to them and reconcile them to God, and his blessings would be for the whole world and not just for them. This is what the ancient prophet said. Perhaps the people reasoned that only a conqueror or warrior king could achieve all this. But instead they were given a Lord of love and compassion. Instead of war, he preached peace. Instead of a triumphant procession on a warhorse, he would one day ride a donkey into the holy city. In the place of a throne, he would come to embrace a cross of wood. Jesus of Nazareth would come to fulfill all these prophecies by way of his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. Stuart Townend sings our next song, There Is a Hope.
Let's sing this together.
There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in me.
My ear, for I am safe in heaven.
John made his message of repentance quite clear, and so the crowds wanted to know what else was expected of them. He told them they had a duty to serve God where he had placed them. Share what you have, your food, your clothes, your possessions, he said to the people. And to the tax collectors he advised them to be honest and not deceitful. To the soldiers among them he told them to cease their violence, speak truthfully, and be content with their pay. He was indeed laying down a social gospel, which Jesus would come to affirm too. The first verse of our next hymn has this to say: Christ's is the world in which we move. Christ's are the folk we're summoned to love. Christ is the voice which calls us to care. And Christ is the one who meets us here. It's a song called Christ's is the World in Which We Move, with soloist Joanne Hogg, with a choir of Liverpool Metropolitan Cathedral, with words by John Bell and Graham Moore. John was most insistent that he was not the king himself. He was not the anointed one. I baptize you with water, he said, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So let us be people who know their need of God and, in humility, draw close to him. John the Baptist, who baptized people with water, claimed no glory for himself. He pointed away from himself to the one who would baptize with Holy Spirit of God and with fire. May our repentance be real and from the heart, and let us pray to keep on being renewed daily in heart, mind and spirit, so the light of Christ can live in us and bring hope to others. Here's a song by Maddie Pryor and the Carnival Band. O Thou Who Camest From Above.
O Thou Who Camest From Above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on a mountain altar on my heart.
John the Baptist was unafraid to challenge the proud, the high and the mighty, and he was prepared to lay down his life for the truth that he felt called to preach. Whatever our calling or vocation in life, let us be true to it. Whatever gifts we've been given by God, let us put them to use for the benefit of the world and not be cowed by others. Our final song is also by Maddie Pryor and the Carnival Band, and is called Light of the World, which was written by Charles Wesley. Allow me to read the first verse to you, which talks of Jesus being the focus of our lives, and that if we keep our eyes on him and allow ourselves to be guided by him, we have nothing to fear. The language here is old-fashioned, but very powerful nonetheless. It says, Light of the world, thy beams we bless. On thee, bright sun of righteousness, my faith has fixed its eye. Guided by thee through all I go, nor fear the ruin spread below, for thou art always near. This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for being with me today. I do hope you're enjoying these Advent songs and readings. My thanks to Andrew for his technical help today. So here's our final hymn, Light of the World. Bye for now. See you soon.
Light of the world, thy beams I bless, on thee, bright sun of righteousness, my faith hath fixed its eye. Guided by thee through all I go, nor fear the ruin spread.
The name of Jesus is